No, Billy is not going to start singing. It is Colin Letty. I don't know. Colin, you may sing a little bit. You ever done any singing?
Yes, for many years, but I don't know if I want to do it over this microphone.
All right. Anyway, it is an open phone day today. We're going to talk about anything and everything, and that means it's anything that's on your mind. If you got something to talk about, if you were at the meeting last night at the library, and there was a lot of people at that library, Colin was among them. You said a pretty full house in there.
Completely full.
And a lot of people, were there a lot of people that had comments? A lot of comments?
A decent amount, yes.
And the reality is, what you ended up doing, you've got a sheet in front of you which shows all of the, that's the complete list of all of the possibilities?
It's mostly complete, yes.
There's still some other options that might be,
there's
yes.
still some options that they're exploring, let's say. But this right here, if you want me to read
Well, if you wanted to, before you do, one of the things I noticed that if you wanted to just have that be a walking or a bicycling bridge.
That's also an option.
But it would. But according to that, it would cost as much as if you wanted to do the.
Well, let's get into some statistics here.
Okay.
So
if you wanted to actually repair the bridge, take the current bridge, repair it completely.
So for full vehicle traffic, rehabilitation is what you're saying.
Yeah.
For vehicle and pedestrian, with a weight restriction of 20 tons and a lifespan of 50 years.
And 20 tons is an off. That would yes. seem. That seems. And, that seems really high for.
Yeah, it does. And I want to clarify, this is purely speculation by the firm Impact 7G. This is a ballpark estimate by Impact 7G, which is the environmental services firm that was hired by the city to do this whole evaluation.
Okay.
So this is in no way.
It's not basically bridge engineers that have been out there investigating. You know, taking readings.
That is a whole other study that needs to be conducted.
And my understanding is that the Friends of Cascade are trying to privately fund
a study, and they have a GoFundMe page and all those things up. But the speculated cost for a full rehabilitation of the existing Cascade Bridge would be in the ballpark of $6 to $9 million. And inspection costs per year would be $40,000 for 2 years.
Okay, and I think, but you've got there was another option below that.
Yes,
what was that?
And before I said that, I want to hammer this home that these are no way set in stone plans or set in stone prices. These are just options.
These are options that are just based on best guess.
And if you want to weigh in, there's a website out, BurlingtonCascadeBridge.com. Go ahead and check that website out.
Okay.
It's very informative. You get a lot of the same information we have here.
Okay.
And the rehabilitation for the existing bridge for only pedestrian traffic, so just for walking and keeping the existing bridge there, would be the same price.
That seems to be wrong to me. Because you don't need anywhere near the strength.
Well, you have to take into account how many people are going across it, and will that weight be analogous to a similar amount of vehicles?
I can't imagine any case where you can have that
and
many.
And also, walking bridges over large ravines or bodies of water have higher safety standards.
I suppose they have a higher safety, and yes, and I suppose. So you're saying basically, if it's going to be repaired for pedestrians, it should be. And they had it we had it over 10 years. We had it as a pedestrian and bicycling bridge.
Well, that was one of the main points of the study, of their preliminary study they did, which showed that for years the bridge has been registered unsafe, but they kept it open anyway.
Okay. But it got closed, and I think that, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Nick McGregor was the one who said, okay, let's close the bridge, completely, we'll put the chain link fence up on both sides to make sure that no one is going to actually go in there. We're not going to we're not going to do anything with the bridge right now.
It's not really a priority of the city.
And I think the fact is that when they rehabbed that bridge back in the 60s, they put in a, what did they do? They replaced a, uh, they had a, It was basically a concrete. I believe they had a concrete bridge, and they replaced it with...
with a metal grate.
With a metal grate, which basically did nothing but allow the water to drain down
And the metal deteriorated.
And the metal, yes. And
so, and that's where this issue really kind of hits with people who live near that bridge and want that easy access to the park, because they don't want that issue on the back burner. They're like, if you can fix this, fix it now. And they're like, no, we have many more pressing issues we need to get to.
And we need more money.
And I think the fact that it's been closed so long, people have started to get kind of jaded with it.
Okay. And it's been closed, but not that long. It was closed. It hasn't been a year since it was completely closed. Now it was closed to vehicular traffic in 2008, but it took 11 years they continued to have it, you know, big barricades there, but it was still okay for walking and or riding bikes. I rode my bike over there hundreds of times.
Well, I think that is a different situation. Now the bridge is just even further deteriorated since then, but
I guess the question is, but how much has it deteriorated? And I guess we'll see that when we have the engineering study.
Absolutely, definitely. Once we have a full engineering study done,
not just a ballpark guesses of what has happened or what hasn't happened.
So the next option, which of course is you just take the bridge out and nothing ever comes of it, the bridge is gone forever.
Okay.
Cost of that out of pocket, no extra tax or anything, $250,000.
Okay. That's to tear it down.
And the option right below that.
By the way, Mikey J would say, check mark.
Check mark. Yep. The next option under that would be to remove the bridge and install a trail up and down that ravine.
Okay.
So like a path, a sidewalk, or maybe even a street.
So you could actually walk down and walk up. Okay.
Yep, definitely. And that would be between $250,000 and $750,000.
Because
you'd have paving costs.
You would have paving costs, and you'd also have landscaping, or you'd have basically some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be landscaping.
It'd be like paving a road.
You'd have to elevate. You'd have to get some places. You'd have to be increasing. You know, put a higher. You know, make it. You can't have sharpness or how steep it would be. I think it would be. You'd have to have it so it would be within reasonable incline or decline.
And then the next popular option is to remove the bridge and replace it with a brand new one. And this is actually a slightly cheaper option than rehabilitation, but it's more expensive than just removing the bridge or anything.
Well, yeah.
And this the lifespan would be doubled.
100 years.
100 years, and there would be no weight restriction with a brand new bridge.
Okay.
And this would be for both pedestrian and vehicle traffic.
This would be basically a concrete bridge.
Yes, steel, concrete, and concrete bridge.
Okay.
And the cost would be, they ballparked it at $3 to $5 million.
Okay. So basically about half of the repair.
And the same inspection costs as rehabilitation.
Okay.
So that's a bit cheaper, and then to remove the bridge and replace it with a new bridge that's strictly for pedestrians, with a weight restriction of 10 tons, would be $2.25 million, and between $2.25 and $3.25 million.
Okay, so it'd be pricey just to be able to just get a pedestrian bridge.
Yes, and this would be a multi-year plan. So, and because it's a multi-year project.
Okay, so I guess the real question is,
and there's one more option that I don't think anybody has really explored,
and that is
do nothing and you build a brand new bridge right next to it.
Okay, leave the bridge as it is and just have it.
And that would be $3 to $5 million plus the existing bridge maintenance costs.
Okay,
so if you want to keep Cascade Bridge up but not use it, you got to pay to maintain it.
Okay, but it which doesn't seem to make much sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the same goes for...
Aesthetically, it certainly wouldn't make much sense.
Either if it's for vehicle or pedestrian use, the new bridge, keeping old Cascade Bridge there. Well, I'm sure some people would enjoy that, so they can look over the old bridge while they're going over the new one and blah, blah, blah. That also presents a huge safety hazard, because at any point that thing could just implode.
Well, the reality is it would be an unlikely. That would be a very unlikely
and
option.
And it's a very non-aesthetically pleasing solution.
Yeah, I think you'd want to keep it so that you have a bridge that connects directly to Main Street and ends up directly where the other one ends and gives you the view of the area.
I'm frankly just more floored about how passionate people have been getting over this topic.
Well, I think I think that
now the historical preservation people, I understand the outcry, but you know, just normal citizens every day saying, in either direction, either we need it or we don't. It's been really sort of eye-opening to the significance of this bridge.
Well, I think I think a lot of people are waiting for the Working Bridges Group to actually have the funds and to be able to use those funds and give us the very latest actual engineering from an engineering firm and weight tolerance, et cetera.
See the data.
What is the data that you have on that bridge
And Impact 7G has given their speculation, and they are not an engineering firm.
No, and that's then it's all speculation, too.
They are an environmental services firm that is designed to basically just show what every option would do, how much it would cost, impact on the city.
But it's really just ballpark figures based on best guess.
It's all speculation.
And speculation. Okay.
So there's no concrete plans to go with any of these yet. There's no concrete plans by the city.
I would think that would be very unlikely.
Because there's a lot of projects going on in City Hall that still need approval. The Tiger Grant project, the downtown hotel, council wages, all that stuff is very immediate.
Yeah.
Those are the priority projects. But this is definitely, I'd say, if that's Tier 1, Cascade Bridge is a clear Tier 2.
Okay.
And there's many more underneath that, I think.
Okay. Well, that's really where we are. We're at a situation where let's wait. Let's see the hard data. See the real data.
And that's the reason why.
Engineering data.
And that's the reason why they have held off on this, because it's an issue of prioritization. There are more pressing issues going on with this city than just one bridge.
Right, exactly. And I think that's really.
Oh, and another one I forgot to mention, the sewer separation project, which I believe has already begun.
Well, the sewer separation project has been a sewer separation project is an extremely expensive proposition
and a lengthy undertaking,
and it's been going on,
it's going to eat up public funds,
and it has been going on. We're utilizing some of those funds that has also been utilized by the city to do the flood mitigation project,
and that's another
huge one. But it's the flood mitigation project is basically being funded out of the same area by the state grants, and also, as I said, within DNR and the flood mitigation project itself, with the sewer separation project. So
right.
They're kind of linking the two together and using some of those funds to be able to protect the riverfront. And that,
yep.
So you can't argue with that in terms of net effect. One of the things that, as I found, as we talk about that, we'll find out more. Do they have a time span on when they're actually going to have engineering, or they have to find the money first? Is that right?
That's true, and I have no time frame on.
All right. 754-1490. If you've got an opinion on it, I think we already said, Mikey J's. Hey, tear it down, and
that's very much his opinion.
Yeah, and I think he would if he was. I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm going to guess he would probably say option have a walking path that'll allow you to continue. And you know what? It wouldn't be a bridge, but what you'd have is you'd have to put a lot of soil in there, and then you'd elevate it up, and you'd have to be able to a walking path that would because you can't have it too steep, or it's not going to or that's going to be that's another danger. So it has to have, I'm going to guess, probably an incline no more than 10% incline.
Yeah, unless you plan to put in stairs,
I don't think
so.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a likely prospect, yeah. And I suppose, actually, you could put that in there, if it was a wide enough path, it'd be a nice challenging little bike drop and up. But and I think that might, you know, maybe that might be, but I don't know how, you know, like as I said, I don't know how successful that would be or not.
Who knows?
Okay. Anyway, 754-1490. We're going to take a break for news, and we're going to talk about, let's see, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about doubling the size of Memorial Auditorium in terms of its capacity. Its capacity right now is, I believe, 2,250 people. So they're looking at doubling that to about 4,500. Is that approximately?
That was one of the proposed plans. That was the proposed plan.
Okay. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk also about raising salaries of council members and the mayor in the city of Burlington, and maybe even a little bit about the caucuses coming up. You may have confusion. Has there been anything that we can find that we have a listing of where the caucus sites are yet?
I couldn't say.
Okay. We will be investigating that, because I
know
that.
We will be investigating that.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that. We've got news right now.
I'm Michael Braskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. Hear Live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
To join the Y, building endurance, losing weight, and strengthening your heart. When you join the Y, you are committing to more than simply becoming healthier. You're supporting the values and programs that strengthen your community. At the Y, children learn what they can achieve, families spend quality time together, and we build relationships that deepen our sense of belonging. Check out all we have to offer online at burlingtony.org. The Y is more than just a gym, it's where you belong.
When you have trouble sleeping, it's tough. When kids have trouble sleeping...
Mom, I can't sleep. Dad, just one more story?
For nights like this, try Vicks Pure Z's Kids. Our great-tasting gummies are specially formulated for kids with a unique blend of botanicals and a low dose of melatonin to support their natural sleep cycle. Best of all, they're drug-free and non-habit-forming. Help your child fall asleep naturally with Pure Z's Kids Gummies. Consult with a doctor before use. For ages 4 and up.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I like Chick-fil-A nuggets because they are made with love. It's kind of like if you want to go to your grandmother's house for dinner. It's going to be your real home-cooked meal. You can't go wrong with it.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie, and something I love about the Chick-fil-A nuggets is their gold color. It lets me know that I'm about to enjoy something hot and delicious. It's just comfort food. It feels good to eat.
Real guests paid for their testimonial. Receive a free 8-count Chick-fil-A nuggets when you sign in on the Chick-fil-A app by January 31st, 2020.
No one plans on having physical therapy, but when you need to improve movement, reduce pain, and live better, you can count on Universal Therapy Group in Burlington and Fort Madison. Needs for physical therapy include accidents, stroke, sports injuries, balance problems, and joint replacements. Besides improving life, effective physical therapy can help prevent future injuries by strengthening muscles, joints, tendons, and ligaments. No matter your age or need for physical therapy, Universal Therapy Group specializes in you. Empower yourself. Choose Universal.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Dozens of citizens packed the meeting room in the Burlington Public Library Wednesday evening to hear about the various courses of action that could be taken in regards to Cascade Bridge. The City of Burlington and Impact 7G, the environmental services firm assigned to assist the city in finding the best option for the bridge, held a public listening session to present their findings on the state of the bridge and give their best estimates of cost for either rehabilitation or demolition and replacement of Cascade Bridge. They also took time to take public input on their findings as well as conduct a survey of the audience. The main talking point of the night was options of what to do with the bridge and the cost of said actions. Based upon past studies as well as adjustment for inflation, they concluded a full rehab of Cascade Bridge would cost the city up to $10 million. A demolition of the bridge and replacement with a concrete structure would cost the city roughly between $3.5 and $5 million. For more information, visit burlingtoncascadebridge.com. A former Waterloo teacher has been accused of stealing money from the teachers' union. U.S. District Court records say Anthony Dell is charged with wire fraud. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports that Dell is accused of taking more than $54,000 from the union's accounts over about 5 years when he was the union's treasurer. Authorities say he used some of that money for gambling. The United States House of Representatives passed a bill Wednesday that avoids a potential national crisis regarding the dangerous opioid fentanyl. In 2018, the Drug Enforcement Administration issued an emergency order making fentanyl and all fentanyl-related substances illegal. However, that order is set to expire a week from Thursday. The House voted 320-88 on Wednesday to extend that order. The bill had previously passed the U.S. Senate. Without the extension, prosecutors said it would have made it difficult to bring cases involving fentanyl to the courts. The bill extending the emergency order on fentanyl now goes to President Donald Trump for his signature. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Another question and answer session at President Trump's impeachment trial starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. Senators submitting written questions for House Democrats making their case and the president's defense team.
Alan Dershowitz offering a novel legal theory on the Senate floor.
If a president does something which he believes will help him get elected, in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment.
Senators will vote tomorrow on whether to hear witnesses.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be in Ukraine later today, staying in London a day before Great Britain formally leaves the European Union.
This is a historic relationship between our two countries. Save for that moment we busted away a couple hundred years ago. It's been fantastic.
He's met with Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab today. America's listening to Fox News.
Come enjoy the warmth and hospitality of an authentic Irish pub right here in Burlington. Kelly O'Shea's restaurant features seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, appetizers, and delicious nightly specials. The bar offers specialty beers on tap, extra cold bottles and cans, and a variety of liquors and coolers. At Kelly O'Shea's, they enjoy what they do, and they're sure you will too. So come on down, meet some friendly people who love to socialize, and enjoy a warm meal and cold drink at Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill on Main Street in Burlington.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Still some light fog out there. We are looking at as well a cloudy sky. A high projected this afternoon at 31 degrees. South winds around 5. Tonight cloudy. Slight chance of some light snow after midnight. Could see some patchy fog. A low to 28. Cloudy on Friday. A slight chance of drizzle and snow and a patchy fog in the morning before 10. A high of 36. And cloudy Friday night, low to 28. Right now, still overcast skies and haze, still 26 degrees.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CNBC. Stocks giving back some of their opening losses now, reacting again to the growth of the coronavirus in China as airlines, now including Delta, stop flights. Right now, the Dow is down 42, NASDAQ's off 3, and the S&P 500 falling 5. There is a report now about 6,000 people are stuck on an Italian cruise ship, which is now docked in Italy, north of Rome, after two passengers showed possible symptoms of the coronavirus. The U.S. economy grew at just 2.1%, the least since 2016 in the fourth quarter. Consumer spending in that holiday quarter up by just 1.8%. And for the year, overall growth was just a slow 2.3%. First-time claims for jobless benefits fell by 7,000 last week. It's the busiest day of the earnings season so far. Among them, Coca-Cola beating expectations, as did Biogen, as did Hershey. Stephanie Shelton, CNBC.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Save big money on all of your home improvement projects right now at Menards. Stop into Menards Electrical Department and stock up on RCA audio and video accessories. Get game day ready with an indoor HD antenna. All in-stock antennas are on sale. Get an easy-to-install antenna that blends in with any home decor while providing free local HD TV programming. Right now, it's just $14.99 after rebate at Menards. Prices good through Saturday, February 1st.
Save big money at Menards.
Why does Elizabeth Warren fight so damn hard for working families? It's because she's from one. Why are billionaires scared of her? It's because she's not afraid of them. She's not afraid because she's never forgotten where she came from, how her family struggled after her dad's heart attack, how she almost didn't make it raising two kids while building a career. And she's never forgotten how big banks screwed over working people and got away with it. Today, corruption is poisoning our democracy. Politicians look the other way while big insurance companies deny patients life-saving coverage, while big banks rip off consumers, and while big oil companies destroy this planet. Elizabeth will fight to end corruption to make our government work for everyone. As president, she'll fight for you.
I'm Elizabeth Warren, and I approve this message.
Text Iowa to 24477 to consent to receive periodic campaign updates from Warren for President. Text HELP for help, stop to end. Message and data rates may apply. ElizabethWarren.com/privacy policy. Paid for by Warren for President.
And there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain in effect.
On air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back on the talk show today. One of the stories that came out this past week, Memorial Auditorium, and it's hard for me to imagine how this would be done because it seems almost beyond, you know, extraordinary engineering feats would have to be, would have to be performed. But taking the Memorial Auditorium and redoing all of the seating to accommodate, to basically double the seating capacity of the auditorium, and
it'd be a project.
Well, because absolutely. Because that's built like a brick blank house.
yep.
And it's really, really all right. Let's go to the phones. We're going to see who's on the line right now. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Yeah, this is Jack.
Hey, Jack.
I got a question for you. How do you set up a GoFundMe account?
You sign up for the website, and you say what you want to raise money for. You set a dollar goal you want, and people can just you send out the link, and people can send there and just donate.
Yeah, or you can do what did Carson King do?
I believe you need a PayPal account too.
Well, actually, what that was, you needed. He just held up a sign
or
that
a Venmo account.
Need beer money.
Here's my Venmo name.
Here's my Venmo.
Well, I think maybe the city of Burlington should set up a GoFundMe account to replace Cascade Bridge. If you got 10 million people to donate a dollar, that's $10 million.
That was one of the comments people said the other night, is that the city could raise money to help alleviate the cost of this.
Now, but could they? But I guess the question is, do you believe that a GoFundMe account would be successful?
It couldn't hurt anything if it exists, but would it be successful? I guess that would be.
I don't know. It depends on how you market it and sold it.
It is a wait and see thing, definitely.
Yeah.
It's sad because of the fact that here we are arguing about a bridge. We've been arguing about it for umpteen years, but yet nothing gets done. It's just arguments.
Again, like I said earlier, I think it's more of a prioritization issue. The city council has and still do feel there are more pressing issues to cover, but it's definitely still one of those issues that's always brought up.
Well, Jack, it was, as I said before, the real hubbub over the bridge didn't occur, and Dan, as we said, these engineering studies were done, 2008, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And so an engineering study, and yet we had that type of outdated information determining, yes, well, link in that bridge all of a sudden was rated to be so many pounds or whatever. the fact is, I rode my bike over. I've ridden my bike over that thing hundreds of times. People have. There used to be picnic tables. Remember when they had picnic tables on the bridge?
And, well, I can remember back in the snowstorm of 79, I drove an end loader across that thing and saw snow off of it.
Yeah, and you know, I don't remember. Do you remember, Jack? My understanding is, do you remember when they when that steel basically I believe a concrete roadbed, and they replaced it with the
it was wooden.
Oh, was it wooden? Okay,
it was a trolley car bridge. That's where trolley cars went across, because you got really neat pictures of trolley cars sitting on that bridge. But no cars at the time, of course. So I think it was a wooden deck, just like MacArthur Bridge was a wooden deck, and they eventually replaced it with steel. And then what happens when they did that?
And then all the water runs through it, and then it rusts, right?
Yeah, it does.
Which is what water does.
You can't paint it with good paint anymore, because you can't put lead in anything.
Yeah.
So, but you know, that's just, you know, a thought. You know, or if we can find a bunch of very wealthy businessmen in Burlington that want to just donate $10 million, we'd take that.
Probably,
no,
yeah.
You just need to find maybe there, I don't know, is there any foundation money out there, any federal grant money out there, any state grant money out there?
I'd go to every government entity we could to find money.
They were speaking about getting federal grant money to go in any direction they can, and that's an incredibly lengthy process.
Yeah, it is a lengthy process. But you know what? It's been a lengthy process anyway. But you know, what I was saying, Jack, is that While I was, you know, I've said it several a dozen times or so, you know what? If it's going to be a walking bridge, why not make it? Why not dress it up and make it an attractive walking bridge and bicycling? Just have a big sign that says no vehicular traffic of any sort after this point, and bicycles and pedestrians are welcome. But you know, I think still that
make it into a toll bridge, put a quarter on the cross it or something.
Well, that might
anything to raise money.
Or you know what?
Yeah, it doesn't have any money for nothing right now.
I have a feeling that would you put a toll, if you made it a toll bridge, you'd have people that would say, you know what? I guess I don't need to use this bridge that much.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think a quarter hurt anybody.
Probably not.
Those quarters do add up.
Well, we can tell you, Jack can probably tell you how the Golden Goose. That was one of the things that that's what MacArthur Bridge was, because that. It was funded. It was paid for very quickly by the tolls, and then all that toll money went into the city coffers for decades. And
it'd be interesting if you could go back in records just to see where a lot of that money went and how it just kind of dribbled out here, and some of it disappeared, and a lot of it was used for maintenance and upgrade of the city of Burlington, but. You know, we don't have that option anymore. There isn't a toll on the bridge.
Yeah, some of it was used for, obviously, a percentage was used for maintenance, and a percentage was used for road use. But the rest all just went straight into the general fund. And, but you know what? Bridges have a lifespan, and so does everything else.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. But, you know, it's just a thought. Maybe somebody could win the lottery and donate the money too. How's that sound?
That's another possibility, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? If I happen to have $300 million or whatever from the thing, you know what? I'll consider building a new bridge for Burlington. How about that?
We didn't even put your name on it. This bridge. Has
How
been
about that?
The Hexham Bridge.
Okay. It's the Hexham Bridge. There you go. Yep. All right. Hey, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
All right. 754-1490. Yeah. You know, it is really it is true. Nobody really paid any attention to the. I mean, there was some. You know, there was talk about, well, when are we going to do something about MacArthur Bridge? But as long as it was still being used by pedestrians, as long as you could still ride your bike across it, as long as you could still park on one side and walk across to go to the concert, concerts or things like that, or the symphonic blast. It sort of lay really, really, really on the back burner, and nobody really worried about it. And then once you put a chain link fence up there and you close the thing off, all of a sudden things seem different. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Wait a minute. Okay, about MacArthur Bridge.
Yes.
That if I remember right, you talked about the old bridge and it had a toll.
Yes.
If I remember right, that the state told them, we'll build a new bridge, but you have to get rid of the toll. And well, we'll take care of the bridge.
Well, the part of the idea was it was part of the four lane. It was going to be a four lane high speed bridge, and a toll was simply not going to be feasible, and that was part of the.
But also the city council that during that time, we had good times in Burlington. You had business was going good, money was coming in. But the guy's right. It says spend the money to keep the maintenance on across the bridge. I mean, putting money on that, they spend on other things. And then about when the mayor talked about where we didn't have the money even to pay for staff for the city, all of a sudden, we don't have the money to pay for to keep it up. And they never kept it up. But I think what the article says is that we need a new bridge, basically, and I think that guy had a good idea. I'm going to give $5 for the bridge, but that's just. And about the auditorium, like somebody told me, I don't want to get people mad, but let's face it, when that was built, people were skinnier, and now people are bigger now, and like I said before, unless we get Donald Trump or Weingart willing to build a brand new auditorium like the Martin of Quad Cities, put it in the business park, that's what I would do. But that's just me.
You know what? I think the fact well, I'll have asked Mikey J. First off, I already put you down as a no. I had you down for the. I said check mark, put the Mikey J check mark right next to take down the old bridge, and I said you might be willing to consider paving a path, a walking
and
path.
That was an option they brought up at the meeting.
A walking path, basically, you'd have to do some they'd have to put a lot of dirt fill in there because you can't go more than a 10% incline or decline. But do a walking bridge, make it wide enough so you can actually ride your bike across there and end up there. I think you'd probably consider that one, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that's the cheapest option, and I think if you still want to get into the park, you can get in through that way.
Yep.
There'll be far less yearly upkeep on a trail like that.
You want to walk there, that's fine. You want to ride your bike, that's fine. So it's going to be about a 10%. Incline, so just be ready to pedal a little harder, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to congratulate, I heard on the news that they're going to sign a bill to do something about the opioid crisis somewhat.
They were extending the emergency ban on fentanyl.
Yeah, they're doing wow.
Emergency status of fentanyl expires next Thursday.
So
they signed an extension.
Hey, Dean, I'm going to let you go because I got to get another call in here, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Mary.
Hey, Mary, what's on your mind?
Well, the auditorium, and I don't know how anything can be done without destroying the beautiful Art Deco, and the seats are so small, it's like sitting on a narrow ledge, and if somebody big sits next to you, he takes half your seat, and it's like being smushed.
They would have to.
I think that's part of the plan.
I don't take up much room, but when.
You would have to the way that those
half of your seat.
Well, it would require Mary. I think it would require a complete engineering overhaul. You wouldn't destroy necessarily the Art Deco location, but you would have
seat replacement is a must.
But the seat replacement, you'd have to destroy all of those seats and then put layer and balconies and everything else like that. It would be Mikey J. I'm thinking that'd be pretty doggone expensive, wouldn't it?
And unless you did bench seating, like bleacher style seating,
and putting a hotel in the parking lot.
That has been moved to priority number two as far
well,
as the plan
it's
for
awful
that.
Well, because it would destroy the riverfront and block the view.
We have
five big hotels already.
Well, I think the plan that they have now stated is that they want to focus on redoing the auditorium and the hotel is a see what happens after the auditorium refurbishment.
Right. Yeah. So they
will destroy Burlington Riverfront.
Well, you know what? They haven't had an engineering study yet. They haven't started to do anything yet.
It's all planning.
And I think once they find out, as I said, it's built like a brick. You know what? Because those walls are really, really thick.
I know.
Yeah. Mary, thank you so much for calling in today.
Well, I've spoken my piece.
There you go. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the talk show on a Monday.
He's the one that
Thursday.
Leads your team. And when it comes down to that final play, he's the one your team looks to make it happen. Only one show can give you access to everything Coach has to say. And you can hear it right here on Hawk Talk with Fran McCaffrey on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Hawk Talk with Fran McCaffrey this Monday night at 7 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
First impressions last. Time to call Sherwood Company.
These days, darkness falls early. It seems we live more of our life in the dark than we do in the daylight. Does your business light the way for your customers to find you?
First impressions last.
This is Jerry Sherwood from the Sherwood Company. A properly lighted sign can make all the difference this time of year. Does your business look open when customers drive by? Does the quality of your signage and business exterior convey the quality of product or service available inside? If your business signage doesn't shout, "Hello, come in, we are ready to do business with you," then it's time to call the Sherwood Company. First impressions can be the difference in the success or failure of your business. Make your first impression bright. At the Sherwood Company, we are design specialists. Designing ways to grow your business, designing first impressions that last.
First impressions last. Time to call Sherwood Company.
Is a college education a distant dream you hold for a newborn child staring you in the face? Next to retirement planning, paying for your children's education could be the largest expense that your family will bear. A 529 college savings program is an option to help save for higher education. For more information on this flexible college savings program, contact the financial advisor team at Two Rivers Investment Services. They can help you plan today for tomorrow's college education expenses. Prior to investing in a 529 plan, investors should consider whether the investor's or designated beneficiary's home state offers any state tax or other benefits that are only available for investments in such state's qualified tuition program. Withdrawals used for qualified expenses are federally tax-free. Tax treatment at the state level may vary. Please consult with your tax advisor before investing. Securities and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not insured by any federal government agency, and not a bank deposit. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. LPL Financial and Two Rivers Investment Services are independent entities.
And welcome back on the talk show. Mikey J's joining us. We're talking about the fact that I said, what concerns me is that it would appear, I don't see, and I'm not an engineer, and I'll admit that, but to try to remodel that auditorium so that you can double its seating and have modern amenities such as you would have, you know, the Mark of the Quad Cities.
It was the iWireless Center for a long time.
It was the iWireless Center. I remember going there when it was the Mark of the Quad Cities.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. I do too.
Anyway, but again, you've got to have areas for display areas. You've got to have areas for, you know, the fact is of concessions and boxes and all of these other things that they have that
various amenities
and amenities of a modern sports facility or a stadium. And it would seem that it would to try to double that, it would seem it would be, well, I can't, my own guess says you know, probably would be about as it would be as expensive. It would be as expensive to try to remodel that auditorium as it would be to build a complete new facility from scratch.
Do you understand? Yeah, yeah. You're probably right. You know, it's this weird problem where they're the folks that are working in the building are saying that we can't get anything good here because there's not enough places to put people. We can't get a big act here because there's not enough seats. We can't sell enough tickets to pay for a big act.
And to be fair to them, that is a factor because if you don't pay big acts enough money, they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely get that. But when was the last time there was something down there that they sold out? You know, anything that they sold out that they needed more seats for.
You know, I think the only ones that I'm going to guess. I was going to say was it the dwarf throw?
the wrestling?
Midget wrestling.
Yes. Midget wrestling, yes. I mean, no, I mean, I'm serious.
Every once in a while you'll get
unique acts that will fill the hall. Snowball will fill it. I think the question is, but in terms of major entertainment acts, the problem that you're going to run into is that if you have a building of 2,200 seats total and it's kind of antiquated, and those seats are antiquated, believe me, you're going to have a hard one. The cost of the tickets is going to be that much higher because their ticket prices. Hey, you only have 2,200 seats, and you want to bring a big act in here. Well, they're not going to come because the ticket price would be too high, and so there's a price point that's going to blow it away. And that's I think that's part of the other problem. That's why you go to the Tax Slayer Center, or you go to the, what do they call it? Is it the U.S. Cellular Center still in Cedar Rapids?
No, in Cedar Rapids. I think it is.
Okay.
Or you go to the one up in Dubuque. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, you go to a place like that, and then the ticket prices will be structured such that,
By
section, you can actually get in. Okay.
Nosebleeds are, I believe, still at the Tax Slayer Center. They're about $15 for nosebleeds, and rinkside for a storm game is $25.
Yeah, so you're going to be seeing, you'll see, yeah, the ticket,
you
that's p- what
you
I'm
get
saying.
What you pay for.
But can you do it, and can you be profitable at it, and can you make it work?
There's a lot of factors that go into building a venue for any sort of events.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think that's really a key here. Let's see if somebody else has got a, hey, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do I have with me?
Melvin.
Yes.
Hey, you're talking about that auditorium and putting that other hotel and all that dumb stuff down
there.
Well,
no, the hotel's on the back burner, but they're talking about trying to remodel the auditorium to double its seating capacity.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is this. Did they ever think about every time you turn around how it's flooding everything down there?
Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole thing's underwater all the time. Well, of course, they're in the
They've got it. They are after this summer, this whole area, that entire area will be completely protected from floods by the flood mitigation that they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm out of time. You know what? But thanks for calling in. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the reality is that the flood mitigation thing, this plan, step two, is to protect the auditorium, protect the port building, and protect that area. And yes, there's more stages yet to come. Mikey J., thanks for stopping in.
Yeah.
And Colin, have a great day.
You too, Steve.
All right. And thanks for calling in.